Well, welcome aboard. I believe we have bars moving. It is the Hour of Truth. And for some reason, they keep putting us back on the network. So here we are. And Jesus is the truth. And his gospel is the truth. And that's kind of what we do here. We talk about Jesus and how good the Lord is and how complete and constant and enduring is his grace and his mercy and how righteous is his judgment and how needful we are of all of it. I have Phil here sitting next to me. Say hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, there you go. So, we were really just all over grace and how the more stubborn of us have to be kissing death's door to be able to receive. But just because we're kissing death's door doesn't mean the Lord won't accept. That we're not unacceptable because in Christ, what was unacceptable was those who knew who he was and taught people otherwise. Those who were more desirous of the position that fed their pride was to them. It was more to them than whether anybody ever had a relationship with the Lord. Because if anybody had a relationship with the Lord, then why would they need them? Right? And the truth is that he's good to those who receive him at the first time the word is given to them, and those that have come close to death in spite of the word that's been given to them, when they turn and call on him, on the name of the Lord, he's able to receive them in either case. The only ones that have difficulty in receiving grace are the ones who are too prideful to be desirous of it to begin with.
They don't think they need it.
That's right.
They think there's something. They don't need it. They're good.
Jesus said, the sick don't need a physician. The healthy don't need a physician. The sick do.
Yeah.
And that he came for the ungodly. So if you're ungodly, man, you're in that group. You're in the group he came for. If you think you got it all together, then he didn't come for you. Anything you want to get into off the rip?
Nothing particular I had in mind. I see you got some scripture up there.
Yeah, I do. I thought I'd tackle this. I'm not, I don't know why this kind of came to mind, and it came to mind because there's so many of like statements. And like this morning, I was basically honing in on a couple of scriptures, a couple of past verses, really, there's a lot in this. And I don't know if we We'll go through it. I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Actually, it's kind of where we started off last year's conference, I believe. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He says in Ephesians 6, what did I say he said? He said in Ephesians 6, as I'm running to it, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And, you know, that's the same kind of statement. But it's the only way to get strong at doing something is to do more of it. Right? And the grace that is in Christ Jesus is strong. It's absolutely perfect for what he wanted it to do. The things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commits you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And, you know, this has been the design of Fishman Ministry, is that stuff which the Lord revealed to Davy, commit it to faithful men who'll be able to teach it to others. And that's been a slow work in progress, because some of us are slow learners. We're in the special ed class. So many of us. Short school bus class. I'm running perhaps off topic. But, you know, when you're in the midst of the goings on that shape and mold who we are in the Lord and require us to avail ourselves of his grace and his mercy, seems like it's never going to end. Seems like it makes me want to have to marry up with scripture, like tribulation worketh patience. Really, the verse before that. The verse before that is what? We glory in our tribulation. I'm going, I don't know, man. All right, Paul, I know you got some good stuff, but but tribulation is the tool that causes us to seek the Lord and experience with the Lord as abundance. Yeah, his abundance. If we didn't ever have the tribulation, we'd never exercise ourselves to get strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that the system is tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. If you want to get from the to the end of that, you got to go through all those other things, and they're all stages in the revelation of the not just the belief of the Lord's companionship, but the Lord's deliverance, the Lord's strong arm of meeting us in our need, when we confess to him that without him we can do nothing. And that is a work. That's the only way you're ever going to get an experience that worketh hope. Is it an experience where you have an expectation because you know how good and faithful the Lord is. As Peter was saying, and we did it today in the service, we have not followed fables. We've seen how it works. And I went to the one place I didn't want to go. I went back to Romans 5. We glory, therefore, in tribulation. Yeah. I don't know.
And there's something in Peter, I think, is just like when all of a sudden you're tried, it seems, you know, you didn't try to fire.
Like, yeah.
What, do you think some strange thing has happened to you? Why do you, you know?
Did you think it was going to be different?
Right. I mean, look, we take the children of Israel. I mean, I go back to that so much. I mean, because what you have is, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he came after them. And yet, you know, they're looking back to the sea. It's like, oh my goodness. Has the Lord brought us out here to die? I mean, you know, what's going on? And yet he opened the sea up and we go right through those things. But, you know, I'm telling you, I don't think that's a comfortable situation.
No. No.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that wasn't a comfortable situation. The whole thing right off the rip. You know, look, here God's coming. I mean, from the beginning when Moses came here, I am coming as a messenger of God to tell you that he's going to deliver you from the Egyptians. Oh, cool. And then, you know, he shows the signs and all these things. Then it's like, Moses, well, why'd you come here? The taskmasters are harder than ever. And yet Moses is going, Lord, I don't see it any good why I even came. And then yet, the Lord reassures his promise. And he goes about performing that promise again. And yet, they had experience yet again.
Yeah.
I mean, they had some experiences.
Yeah, and when the Red Sea opened up, they got to safety. The enemy was no longer chasing them.
God destroyed that.
With the same miraculous work that saved Israel. Now you talk about two for one. Talk about efficiency. that's efficiency.
And that's faithfulness. Not on the children in Israel's part, that's faithfulness on the Lord's part.
Absolutely.
You know, and what comes to mind is what is that scripture that, I think it's in Philippians where how the Lord can work that perfect, you know, work, not work out your salvation fear and tremble. Man, I can't think of it.
I know what you're talking about. I'll get there in a second. Let's see.
I mean, but the thing that you can trust the Lord and how faithful he is to get you to the other side of that. I mean, just like when Jesus was in the boat and he goes, Master, Master, we perish. And he goes, oh, ye of little faith. You know, and the first thing that he said unto them is that, hey, we're going to the other side. And he, guess what? They get to the other side. But the Lord's good. And there was, you know, and the scary thing about that is you had out of the children of Israel that got to the promised land was Joshua and Caleb. They believed. They got.
Well, so it's the Lord quirking something to you and you're like not capable of pulling it out. That's sometimes what happens when you're live. I've pulled it back onto Timothy. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now that's one of those statements that is right there with the we glory therefore in tribulation. I when I think of hardness, I think, you know, I have not done anything easy. This has not been easy. I don't really feel warm and fuzzy about therefore enduring hardness. But this is about being tough. We are recruits. He is building an army. He's going to come back with an army. And the question is, are you going to be in the army? Are you going to be able to tough it out? Is he going to be able to trust you to follow orders? Is he going to trust your discipline to stick to the goal? The hardness of this soldier is a dedication to mission. And that's hard because, you know, we're scattered all over the place, man, especially in the natural. It's scattered all over the place and shiny thing and we're gone, man. Commitment to nothing. And consumption of all is what we're about. From what feels good to the next thing that feels good to the next thing that feels good to the next thing that feels good. And that becomes how we measure and validate ourselves.
We have, using the Joshua and Caleb during the promised land. Those were the two guys that were actually soldiers in the midst of all the people.
Yeah.
And that first generation that passed over those were the two guys that were soldiers. Now, and I'm not saying the rest that did enter in weren't, because they believed Joshua, and they acted out in faith. You know, they partook of that anointing.
Yeah.
And that soldier, I mean, no wrong, but the ones from the first generation of Joshua Caleb that stuck to that plan and to God's promise and believed him at his word. And you know, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do.
Right.
And that's an example that we ought to walk after. You know, I mean, you were talking today, Paulie, and you were talking today about the promises of God and being sure of the promises of God, and they're there.
Yeah. You know,
but we're hanging on to that old bone and that unbelief and not taking him at his word. We're not going to receive it, just like the first generation did not receive that promised land.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's there, and it's not a hard thing to achieve. It's like, here, I'm giving it to you. The Lord's here. It's a free gift. I'm giving it to you. Believe. Trust me.
No,
don't trust in the other, your own carnal mind, that old, oh, they're giants.
I'm like Steve. I'm constantly sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm just not up. I'm not good at this. I'm not ready for this. I'm a dirtbag. My motive isn't right. My heart is corrupt. And he basically says that's not an excuse. You're doing my thing. You're under my covering. You're under my grace. And you're even forgiven for the mistakes you're going to make.
Well, that's part of being strong in the grace.
And you're going to get the correction you need and the provision you need to do what I want you to do. I'm a fair guy. And this is verse 4, no man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. All right, he's chosen to be a soldier. We won't just, we're just talking about easily being distracted, easily being knocked off course, easily seeking after our own pleasure or our own needs first rather than the needs of the unit.
Our own ability.
Right.
You know, kind of like being at work and looking at these things and saying, oh.
You don't even entangle you don't even entangle yourself with the, oh my God, we can never do this mentality, like the other 10 spies. We went to spy out the land. Oh, they're so big. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. So, the job of the soldier is to please him who have chosen him and trained him and equipped him and whose dime you've been commissioned and sent out on. Now, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And this is the mastery of a good soldier. The proof of the mastery of a good soldier is victory. Right? It's as close to perfect, flawless execution, dedication to mission, and then conquering and taking possession of the spoils of victory.
Yes, I was using myself as an example of not doing that.
Yeah.
They're at work. Oh gosh, this is too much for me.
Now, we've had, it's been recent, it hasn't been in the last couple of weeks, but we had a guy who had achieved the highest position you can get in history in bicycle racing, right? And comes to knowledge what was suspected all along, that a guy who's getting older and older every year shouldn't be getting better and better every year. He should be, his ability should be tailing off. So, he was exposed for not striving lawfully. So all his accomplishments not only meant nothing, but they got stripped from him.
Because he got caught not doing what he said he did.
Somehow or another, they proved that he'd been blood doping.
So, I mean, what you have there is that, look, it was all in vain. It was empty.
Mm-hmm.
Not worth a darn.
He lost all the millions and millions of dollars in endorsements that he had, which was really where the money was, the prestige from having won the Tour de France or whatever you could call that thing, so many times. He not only lost Sheryl Crow, he lost he lost all the accolades and endorsements from not striving lawfully. But we have become so accustomed to it, we're not all that incensed about it anymore. We kind of expect that somebody who gets that sort of faulted position in any sport has cheated somehow to get there. That's how corrupt we are in this society today. And then some people will cling to those people whether they've been proven and exposed to be frauds or not. In fact, some of them are exalted for their expertise in committing the fraud. So, it becomes kind of disheartening. But it is an example of our total and complete disregard for striving lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. It sounds like he changed thoughts there, changed points. The husbandman that laboreth must first be first partaker of the fruits. That means that that's about provision for his ministers, a provision here for his soldiers, the provision made for the soldiers. You want to make sure the soldiers, your men under you, get their necessities before you partake of anything. And here, when you're taking a husbandman, somebody who's taking care of a vineyard or some such thing as that, but he's able to get the necessities out of the harvest to sustain himself before, you know, anybody else gets fruits of his labor. So you have two different kinds of things at work here. One is in the natural as a soldier, and the other one is in the spirit as a spiritual worker in the kingdom. Now, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I hope some of that made sense when I said that. I'm not sure it did.
What, about the husband?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
Well, that's sort of comforting. I'm thinking this just turns, sometimes this turns into more of an Abbott and Costello routine than a Bible study, but I digress. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Now, he's a troublemaker. And he stirred up stuff. He went to the synagogues first, until they ran him off. And then the Gentiles start receiving him, and then they start gathering up a stoning squad to go after him as an evildoer.
I hear what he's a troublemaker of is the prince of the world's way.
Right. He's a troubler.
And that's a good thing. You don't want that to stand.
And in his bonds, the word of God was not bound. It went forth in the prisons. It went forth everywhere he was imprisoned. It went forth in the first case he was in the emperor's jail, and the second time in Rome he was in a hired house. He was on house arrest. But, you know, he was paying for the house. And By that time, he actually had Caesar's staff believers. He was really corrupting everything around him because of his dedication to the mission. The mission, the mission, the mission, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel.
And here you have, you know, I mean, I've heard Steve talk about that lady that was absolutely, she had killed the cop. And she had yet in the midst, I mean, all she had was, I think, was a few minutes a day outside to go walk around in shackles and these things.
Yeah.
And yet she had letters writing out and letters coming into her and all these things. And she accepted the Lord when she was in prison and had a ministry, a great ministry, right there in absolutely solitary confinement. You know, I mean, except for the fact she sent out some letters.
It wasn't ministry within the prison. It was ministry outside of the prison.
Absolutely.
The word of the Lord is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. How? That's this one of those uncomfortable. I endure all things. And for somebody else's sake. And, you know, bring it to me. I'm not gonna stop because it's coming to me. I'm gonna keep doing, what I need to be doing for the sakes of those who are here, have heard the word, that need to hear the word. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That is enduring hardness. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, yet, yet is not in there. Why did I even say that? For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Why does he even have to say it's a faithful saying? If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Because there's a tendency, especially with those amongst those who would come against the truth of the gospel, to say it's just idiocy. You're talking about a fable that you've constructed. It's idiocy. It's not. It's faithful. It's what we believe. It's why we share the gospel. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. These are if-thens.
I want to notate deny. I mean, because deny, a lot of people look at the deny as like claiming Jesus Christ or not claiming Jesus Christ. If somebody had a gun to your head and said, you say you believe in Jesus Christ, you better deny him right now or I'm going to shoot you.
All
right. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, when you look at deny, I mean, that's kind of the way you look at deny. But you know, really, if we deny him in our walk, in his way, I mean, you can... I mean, that's just simply disobedience to him. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, denying his way, his doctrine. And that's a way of denying it. And yet you can say it with your mouth that you don't. But your actions very much deny him.
Right. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself.
He confirms his word regardless.
Right. If
regardless,
it, I mean, he is not invalidated or disempowered because of our unbelief.
Absolutely. Look,
just because we don't believe he is what he says he is, just because we don't fit into Hebrews 11:6, where we have to come to him believing that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to believe that he is who he is. Just because you don't believe, it doesn't change what he's doing.
Absolutely. I mean, look, just like I'm referring a lot to the children of Israel. Once again, I mean, what you have is, look, he made a promise unto Abraham and his seed. And yet, because of the first generation didn't believe, did he not go about doing it? Yes, he did. Because he's faithful to his word and to his promise. They might have not partook of it, but that was their choice to do so. But still, yet he went and accomplished that nation that he promised to Abraham.
Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. A lot of people that want to cherry pick words and then argue about their meanings and all this kind of stuff. But all that's about is distracting people who otherwise would be able to hear the truth and receive it. And there are a bunch of contentious people like that. And I perhaps was one at one time. I'm hoping that's a past tense. I'm hoping that's past tense.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. What did you say? You hope it was in past tense?
I said I might could have been accused of being like that at one time. And I said...
I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm hoping it was then and not anymore. So, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Doesn't say study to show yourself approved unto man. Doesn't say you can't rightly divide the word of Lord unless you've got a graduation certificate from the right school, DVD, what is it called? A Doctor of Divinity, D, something. Okay, so I'm having a senior moment with the letters that come after that name. But it is to the approval of the Lord, of the Father himself, the approval, that approval is one that matters. And that's the mastery we're striving for, is we're trying to please the Lord. That better be what we're trying to do.
May that goodness that studies to show thyself unto God a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, study those to show thyself approved unto God. I mean, that's one of where you want to know
him. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get in his word to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do when he sees somebody wanting to get to know him, and a loving father wants to, and a child comes to a loving father to get to know them and what they want and what they're about to know? Does he not give them those things? You know, I look at that as you going to the Lord to know him and his word and his way, and he's going to give those things to you. Amen.
And not only that, I mean, look, you know, I work at Gerald's Tires and Brakes, man. If I don't ever learn anything about my business or how it runs or about the tires or any of those things, how effective am I going to be in rightly doing that job? Not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Well, the other thing is motivations matter. If,
well, that's why it said thyself approved unto God.
Yeah. And if you're doing it any other way, your work as a workman is going to be shameful. And you're actually not even going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, nor is it going to be a concern of yours. If you're out to impress, you know, if you start going to church to impress somebody else, to get the approval of somebody else, well, look, God's a big God, and He can still open the truth up to you. But that's not a good motivation. You don't want to be, you want to be totally consumed with the idea of becoming His workman, His soldier. You want to be dedicated, unswervable, on His mission. What He, just like Jesus, doing what He has given me to do, saying what He has given me to say, and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing to justify you, nothing to, you know, give you the right to exist or the right to eat, or it's not about justifying you. It's about His business.
I think that's much, much more clear than you know, the job for example. I mean, look, the Lord's got a job for you.
Yeah.
And if you're about seeking His will and doing His will in those things, you're going to study His word and get to know it.
But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, this is profane and vain babblings kind of reminds me of just somebody who's arguing for the sake of hearing himself speak and trying to sound important and intelligent. But, you know, they tend to argue in circles and such. But this is, as he keeps going here, that's really not what he's talking about. He's talking about people who are corrupting the truth.
Right.
And destroying other people's faith. Which means it's vain, if it's vain, it's profane and vain, vain would be empty. Well, it's not empty of consequences, so and profane is, against the truth. It is, a perverted word, a twisted lie, a deceiving and distracting of the truth.
And yeah, this profane and vain babbling is,
they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat at the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Of course.
And that's, I mean, you know, I mean, kind of to me, that's an example of the profane and vain babbling. They err from the truth. They're talking about I'm saying that the resurrection has passed already. That's not the truth. That's not the case. And they're going away from the Word of God and making it.
Trying to make other people depart.
Right.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, the foundation of God standeth sure, having their seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is that word. If you're going to name the name of Christ, and his name is Jesus, then you have to be humble and remember where you came from. And in Paul's case, what he did to the faith. So, pride. Wow. That's a hard one. But, you know, it's always also true about the foundation of God's standard. True. He can't stand iniquity in the camp. He won't have it. Won't have it. But in a grace house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for unto every good work.
You know, we were watching The Walking Dead, and there's that guy that was named Shane, and he was actually a disruptive person in the group, and actually, but even though he was never came on board with the group's mission, if you put it that way, he never came on board. Yet he was used as an example. I mean, he still was used of the Lord. Not used of the Lord in this show. I mean, he was still used for their benefit, regardless.
Right. Kind of like all Daryl was in the beginning.
Like
all Daryl. All Daryl was somebody who could go hunt and track.
Right.
That was.
But still, for the use of the mission. Still was used, even though they were a dishonorable vessel.
Yeah.
They never came on board with the mission, never was a part of him, but were still used. I mean, look.
I'm sitting here shaking my head. I know entirely too much about this show.
And, you take a look. I should probably use a scriptural name.
you think?
And I don't know if this would be a good example, and maybe you can help me here, Paul, but like, look, Pharaoh, the Lord kept using Pharaoh. He kept using Pharaoh and hardened his heart to build that which was good and for the Lord's purpose. Regardless, he was a vessel to dishonor.
Right.
Because he absolutely was. Right? But Pharaoh, still the Lord used Pharaoh to establish that they can have trust in him and to go out and performing his plan. He still used him. In fact, it was gracious for him to use one that really didn't have a chance. But it says that we won't be a vessel of dishonor if we yet purge ourselves from that iniquity. But unto honor.
Well.
And I could be wrong. I mean,
the man purged himself from these. What these is he talking about purging himself from? He's talking about purging himself from iniquity and the profane and vain babblings because their vessel, that makes them unprofitable, and therefore they can become vessels of dishonor. But if you purge yourself from these, you shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. It's all about pleasing him and being ready and fit to do the master's work. And that would be the only good work there is. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. This is one that is really hard to get to sink into people, because we, in the natural, we want to hug and house youthful lust and stroke them and make them pets. I'm just saying. Let's see. Faith, follow faith, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of pure hearts. And foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. You know, there's a lot of people who can't avoid an argument. And they actually get off on it. The being gentle to all men, apt to teach, and patient doesn't mean letting them run roughshod over you, though. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Meekness is not, effeminate subjugation of everything you are. It's appropriating the power of his resurrection and the, authority of his word and his purpose and his mission. And, instructing those to give them repentance that they may recover themselves. It's at least become possible out of the snare of the devil, or taken captive by him at his will. Well, we're just a couple minutes from the close out here, so you got anything else there, buddy?
Yeah, one thing that highlights out meekness is the meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. That oppose themselves from going into the Lord. That oppose themselves to things that you instruct them to get those things that keep them from going in the Lord and get them out of the way. But you can only do that in meekness towards God and to taking his, how he would deal with it, his mind in dealing with it, how the Lord would deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what highlights me. I mean, you want to instruct those that oppose themselves from growing up in the, from growing in the Lord, and take those things out of the way so they can move forward in. You can only do this by seeking the Lord in his steps and doing
that. And that is a good work. If you were ever questioning exactly what sort of a good work he was talking about earlier. So, we've come to the close of another Hour of Truth. here on the Eagle Radio Network. Until next time, I'm Paul Moore.
God bless everybody.
May God bless everybody and have a great week.